I'd like to start off by giving you the title of the lesson tonight, and it may very well confuse you because I like to have confusing titles because it causes you to ponder in your mind, what exactly is he trying to say? The title is Two Things Left When It's All Over. We often rush around in this world and have children and jobs and all the things of this life, but I want you to stop for just a moment and consider some things. Consider the physical aspects of this life. Our house, apartment, car, jobs, money, the physical things of this life. Now consider the personal things of your own personal life. Our intelligence, the skills we have, the knowledge that we have in our mind, our abilities, both physical abilities, maybe physical strength, and also our mental abilities, sharpness of mind, mental acuity, all the things that go with it, and our very own physical bodies. I got a question for you. Are any or all of these things mine? Good. I saw somebody shake their head. The answer is no. There is not a single thing that I mentioned that belongs to me. Now, somebody might say, well, I paid off my house. I've got the deed. I paid off my car. It's mine. It never was yours. Your body is not yours. An important question is, what is the source of what we have and what we give to God? Now, you may want to keep your thumbs in 1 Chronicles 29 tonight because this jacket off getting warm. We're going to be spending some time there. King David seemed to have a really good handle on our topic tonight. We are to give of that which we own, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? In Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. The Bible says we're supposed to work, we're supposed to take these things that we have and give it to someone. But in a sense, it's not possible for us to do that. For we physically own nothing in this world. Well, we own one thing, and we're going to talk about that in a second. And therefore, of our own, we have nothing to give. I'm going to read a series of verses from throughout the Bible that will back up that statement. In 1 Corinthians 10:26, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 24:1, this is David talking. He really gets this. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell within. That's us. We are owned by God. Now, the people of the world out there, they deny that. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. They deny that. The Bible says they're wrong. Deuteronomy 10:14, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also, and all that is therein. Exodus 19:5, now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. That's God speaking. He says to the Israelites, you're not going to be my only nation. You're just going to be a peculiar treasure because I own them all. Psalm 50, verses 10 through 12. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountain, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. And my favorite, from Job 41, verse 11, this is from the ASV, American Standard Version. Who has first given unto me? You see, every Sunday when we put money into the Lord's collection, we are giving secondarily. He gave it to us in the first place. We don't own it. Now we're going to talk about what we, if we're not owners, what are we? Who is first given to me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. The Bible again and again teaches that we are not owners in this world. But if we're not owners, what are we? Well, you know, I'm ashamed to say I'm 66 years old and I finally got it this year. When Jesus taught all these parables about stewards, I just never understood what that had to do with anything. But that's what we are. We're stewards. He gave this stuff. He put it into our hands, our physical abilities, our mental abilities, everything we have. We are stewards. We don't own. We just manage. Now, in the parable of the stewards in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, we find that all that exists in the world is given to us. If it's true, then we don't have anything to give to God. How can we give something we don't own? If I went over and reached into your billfold and took your money out and threw it in the plate, I would be taking from you. But I don't own anything I have. How can I give to God? Well, giving the physical, which in reality is not giving, but returning to God what he has first given us, we never owned it in the first place. Now we go to 1 Chronicles 29, because David seemed to understand this better than anybody else. In 1 Chronicles 29, verses 1 and 2, "Furthermore, David the king said to the congregation, 'Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might.'" When somebody uses all their might, that's a decision. And we're going to talk about that. "He used all his might and for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, the silver for things of silver, the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, marble stones in abundance." Here, David prepared with all his might. In verses 10 and 12, and then verse 16 of that same chapter, David says this, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, 'Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all." Remember that word all he keeps using. That means all. "And in thy hand is power and might. In thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. O Lord God, all this store we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thy hand and is thine own." David understood this. He says, "I'm the king of Israel. None of this stuff is mine." In our world today, we are stewards. We are not owners, except for one thing. There's only one thing that I can find, and if I'm wrong, I would stand to be corrected. And that one thing we have that God has given to us, but it is truly our own, is choice. We have choice. God has made us free moral agents. Else, how could we be judged and held guilty if we're not the one that made the decision? We have choice, the things that we voluntarily choose to do. As stewards of what God has put into our hands, we choose how to handle it. And I'm not talking just about the physical. What we think, what we say, what we see, what we do, everything is choice in this world. Now, the Calvinist false doctrines of unconditional election and limited atonement, God has given us free choice. Those things don't exist in the mind of God. Without this, a just God couldn't hold us accountable. Back in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 3 through 5, we read, "Moreover," David speaking, "because I have set my affection," notice the choice there, He did something with all his might. He set his affection to the house of God. I have of mine own proper goods of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that have been prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal, the gold for things of gold, the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hand of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day to the Lord? It's a choice. The person could choose to consecrate his service or choose not to. That is what we own in this life, our choices. Again, 1 Chronicles 29, verses 14, 17, and 18. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given. David understood this. I'm not giving my stuff, I'm giving you your stuff back to you. But it's the choice that I have made in my mind to do so that God will look at. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, that's a choice, I have willingly offered, that's a choice, all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee, that's their choice. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination and the thoughts of the hearts of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. The value of gift is not only simply in the choice, but also in the sacrifice. In the book of 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter, verses 21 through 24, we talk about the sacrifice. You see, if I am a billionaire and I come and worship my God and give a pittance to him, there's no sacrifice. Here, David again. David understood this far beyond any other Bible character. There is a plague in the land, and he has been told by God what he must do to stay the plague. And he's gone to a man by the name of Araunah. And Araunah said, wherein is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good to him. Behold, here be oxen for the burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah, as a king, give unto the king. He was as generous as King David. He said, I've made a choice. Here, take it. Use it. Do whatever God told you, you just take it. He gave freely of himself. And Araunah said to the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said to Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God of that which does cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Now, God owned the threshing floor, God owned the oxen, God owned David, God owned Araunah, but as a steward in his hand, he said, I'm the king. He was going to give it to me. I could have offered it. But no, there has to be a sacrifice. There has to be something within me that says, I want to give so that God can be pleased with what I offer. Now, we get to the title of our lesson. In the end of our life, this life on earth and this physical world that God has created and owns, what will be left of us? Well, in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11, we are given a description of the end of this physical world. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, conversation is manner of life. What should your manner of life be while you're here? If you understand that, two things will remain at the end, as far as I can tell from my study of Scripture. Number one, Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God that gave it. Every single one of us, at our conception, God placed an eternal spirit in us. Otherwise, there would have been no life. Only with that eternal spirit does a human being have life. And that spirit lasts forever. That will remain of us. If you remember Jesus, when he was describing the rich man and Lazarus, he talked about the rich man having a remembrance of his life. And he talked about his five brethren, not his four brethren or his six brethren, but his five. He remembered his life. That spirit that was in the Hadean realm is the man. And it remembered. And it will last through all eternity. But the second thing that will last of us is our choices. These are the starting point for everything we do. The words we say, the things we do in this life, the things we choose not to do in this life. Those God has given to us, and those choices will follow us. In the Old Testament, Joshua said it well when he was speaking to the people in Joshua 24:15. If it seem evil to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He told them, there's a choice. That's the thing that's going to make the difference. What you choose to do, what you choose not to do, that will follow you. In the New Testament, the Hebrew writer, speaking of an Old Testament event, but it appears in the New Testament, saying the exact same thing. Hebrews 11:24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, some of you, if you are thinking of Bible verses in your mind, might be thinking of Revelation 14:13, where it says that our works follow us. Remember, there is not a work we do in this world that does not first involve a choice in our mind. My hand does not move off this podium unless my mind tells it, and that is a choice. So, although Scripture said that our works follow us, and they do, we must remember that any work, any action, any word from us involves a choice that we make. Our choices are our own. God has given us that one gift. Everything else we are stewards of. So then, when these two things will be left of our lives, then what? Well, most of us here, if all, not all, are members of the Lord's Church. And I've seen so many times people struggle with the idea of not just giving, but giving of themselves, doing the work of the church. I'm afraid to speak the gospel to someone. I don't know enough Bible. I don't have this skill or that skill. The truth of the matter is, everything is a choice. We can choose to educate ourselves, to read our Bibles more, to become stronger in the faith. We can choose to step out into the unknown and to do better. We can choose all these things, but that is a choice for all of you. To those who have never obeyed the gospel, the Bible makes it a choice as well. You can either choose to serve God with your whole heart and turn your life over to Him for the rest of eternity by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And only after we have a faith that is pleasing to God, a faith in Jesus Christ, John 8:24, that we must make that second step, which is to confess our sins. We have fallen short. God has given us these bodies, but we have made bad choices in our lives. I don't care who we are. And the Bible says in Acts 17:30, but the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. And finally, baptism for the remission of sins, because although the world out there tells you that You can believe in your heart and go to heaven, and baptism is optional. That's not what God says. You can choose to believe the word of God and choose to do what God tells you to do. Baptism washes away our sins. As Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Whether you want to choose to obey God and become a Christian, or whether you have fallen short and need the help of your brethren who will support you and help you in a choice to move forward, you can do that now as together we stand and sing.